Hello and welcome to the vegan group's noon step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Emily and I'm an alcoholic. Oops, let me just click that off. Okay. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. So Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience or awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time, and we went over that. Then we will split out into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. And when you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distraction. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by the day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked, I'm sorry about that, Ark House to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi there, I'm Paul, alcoholic. The 12 steps are as follows. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for reading. Today we'll hear a talk on step three. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So let's give a warm welcome to Luke from New Haven, Kentucky. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. My name is Luke Armour. I'm an alcoholic. Whoa. And thrilled to pieces, overjoyed, pleased as I could be to be here with you all at the Beacon Group. On this one day, reasonably sober and raring to kick up some dust and celebrate the miracle and do what we do on a 24. Super fantastic. I see some great friends here. And of course, want to thank Sherry for contacting me and making the connection here, and Emily for your service, and Kim as well. We got New Jersey checking in here, Andy, and my friend Rocky in New York. It's great. And just feel like we all went to school together. And actually, that is true. Growing up here in the rooms and in the fellowship together, connections that are just powerful beyond telling and wonderful as well. So this one day, and rocketing forward, sober guy on duty here in the heart of the bluegrass at the Abbey of Gethsemane, oldest monastery in America, here in the music room. Some of you have been here, the site of many, what I'd like to say, bootleg ANA meetings, because we didn't actually ask the New York office if we could get together here, but we do it anyhow. And it's good, it's good. My sobriety date, by the grace of God, actions taken in the program, and a lot of dumb luck, maybe most of that, November 11th, 1989, thankful, can hardly get over that, how the grace of God intervened on that day and has pivoted my narrative and has charged up my story day-to-time basis ever since. I have a sponsor. I use and abuse him on a regular basis. His name is Richard. He lives up the road in Bardstown, Kentucky, our county seat. And we go trudging around the county together and have a great time there, keeping the conversation going, the transparency, the accountability, the story, and wouldn't do without sponsorship for nothing. Here to report that Fabe was my sponsor for 27 years, and the day Fabe died, I asked Richard to be my sponsor so that it wouldn't go a single day without that important sober tool and companionship and so on. And so Richard and I have been trudging these 6 years and just loving it, love that. I sponsor some guys, and the home group is just down the road, a place called Culvertown, which actually is not even a town. It's just a wide spot in the road. And there's about three buildings there. One is a little honky-tonk, which looks very dangerous to me. I've never been in there yet. Then there's this little grocery store where I actually bought my last beers on 11-11-89. And then, believe it or not, some kind of synchronicity and, I don't know, weaving, my home group is right next door at Immaculate Conception Church, which is very interesting because all the chairs there are marked ICC, ICC. And when you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, of course, that stands for Increasing Conscious Contact. So we're all set there at Culvertown on a Monday night. If you ever happen to be in Nelson County on a Monday night, show up. We're going to make you welcome. You're going to know it. And we're going to blast you with some sobriety and send you out fired up and recharged and repurposed. At least that's what happens to me there every Monday night. It's good stuff. So the old boy is trudging around here, kicking up some dust and loving being sober. I'm here to report that even though a number of 24s have passed since I last drank, and I have been with you daily basis, committed, rooted, responsible, and so on, it feels like I just got started this morning. And I don't say that to be clever or anything, but to be honest, I'm not here with any stash of sobriety or a bank account or a supply or standing on some kind of spiritual mound or hilltop or anything like that. I'm kind of empty and poor, and that suits me just fine, because that way, when I claim the power of God at the start of every morning, it's from hunger, it's from longing, it's from a thirst that is gnawing my soul and enlivening me and keeping me right-sized in my place. And so I do that with a passion, with a fervor, with a sense of necessity and urgency that just is wonderful. Why? Because God never fails me, and just waiting. I believe it was the great Southern author William Faulkner who said, one of his novels, The Sound and the Fury, God is a Kentucky gentleman. He does not come where he is uninvited. He does not stay where he's unwelcome. And I like to add, because Faulkner didn't think of it, that he's just dying for the invitation. And so that's how I live. That's how I live my day, start my day, all throughout my day, fired up, on point, best as I can be, off again, on again, fleeting, fragile, just making it. No super sober signal here, just fragile and good. And here to report, I think it's working. And I feel like God's guy, God's spearhead in the new ever-advancing creation, a sober guy on duty with a mission, a purpose, a direction that just has me charged, thankful, amazed, knocks my socks off in ways that I can hardly begin to describe. And it's all very well to speak of it. Of course, it's the actions that really tell of it and prove it, so to speak. So that's my story, the giving back. I claim the power. Big book here, 164, my key, my guide, tells me I'm out of power, and that's my dilemma. And that is abundantly clear to me, even though I've been a Catholic clergyman for 53 years and here at the Abbey for 50 and a half years. You might think I would have this down pat or mastered or something, and that is laughable and so far from the truth. I'm just making conscious contact and love this. It keeps God running the show and me saying, your will be done. I'm no longer running the show. How can I best serve? What am I to do here? Because I need a lot of directions, a lot of reminders, and God is coming in for the invitation by all means. So that's what's working for me. I claim the power upon awakening, or even if I notice by my clock that it's already a new day sober, if it's after midnight, I am asking God to direct my thinking, and I am picking up the kit of spiritual tools just to be connected. And even if I'm not ready to leap up and be into service here, I am preparing my heart and soul, body, mind, strength, everything for a new day in sober service. And friends, I'm a greedy alcoholic. I want every chance to serve. I don't want to squander a minute that might have been worthwhile, that God could have used me for the time I'm given, for the miracle, grace, giftedness he's given me to be a sober guy. I'm on it. And try to live up to that as best as I can. So I'm in for the powerlessness and the unmanageability. That fits perfectly well. And asking God to renew my life of faith, the tremendous mystery, the calling, the avenue of spiritual experience, make the consciousness of God's spirit and movement and aliveness here for me the most important fact of my life today. It feels like that's happening, but I'm never really sure, which is fine. I can't take a pulse on any of this. I feel incomplete. I feel wonder. I feel like I don't have the answers. What are the questions anyway? How can I best serve? That's the question. How can I get out of self and be your guide today? And for the rest, I just I trust the script. I trust the narrative and so on. I love what the big book talks about, the drama of life and the performers and so on, the actor on the stage. I don't have to live by self-propulsion. I live by God propulsion. I don't have to worry about the lights, the dancers, the scenery, what any of the rest of the players are doing, because God is my director today. That, I think, is a wonderful awareness, again, fleeting and fragile, but for the moment, gives me a sense of efficiency and a lightness of heart. It tells me, in effect, what not to be messing with, what not to bother with, what anybody else is doing, what the environment is up to, what the story is like here, because I live in this beautiful place. It's not like it's a burden or anything. It's a beautiful monastery, people who are striving to live for God alone, and I'm one of them. But of course, I'm alcoholic, so I have this infernal, tiresome judge and critic and so on that never seems to quit. So step three is always a great urgency for me to give it up for the moment, for today, release these demands, ask God to, deflate this egoism. I love that, because it's pretty clear to me, for as little as I understand, that the ego does not go away, but I can ask God to take some of the hot air out of it for today. Let me stay in my lane, Father. Let me concentrate on what my sober tasks are here to do, to work with other alcoholics, to be your guy in maximum usefulness and purpose. And so I do that, the drama of life. I should tell you, for better or for worse, I am a bit of a performer, always have been. And here at the Abbey, I am the choir master. I am the, I'm the guy who takes care of the music and arranges the show and tries to, I'm there on the organ, I'm a vocalist and so on. We have these little, I don't even call them practices, I call them tune-ups, so that nobody gets any idea that I'm in charge or trying to make it happen. This is not the Metropolitan Opera, far from it. These are people of faith who want to praise God. We gather in our church 7 times a day. We've been doing this every day for 175 years. I've been here 50 years doing it. This gives me a sense of proportion, a sense of wonder that I have a little something to contribute here at the Abbey today. As a sober guy on duty, I have a song to offer. And thank God it's a sober song today. I get to lead, but it's not as if I'm, number one or anything, the maestro. That is preposterous. I'm just one of the gang here. We're all in uniform, marching, praising, and so on. And I don't have any big ideas that this is anything about me. They think it's true. They say, we do better when you're not even here. And that may be true. So we're good. We're good with that. So what happens? I show up on time, in uniform, ready to serve. And because I've handed it over, I'm not trying to be anything much except God's servant, God's guy on the choir master and on keyboards and so on at the Abbey. And then same for my work in sobriety. I get to meetings, I get to sponsor guys, I'm on the wire, I'm on Zoom, and it's a great life. Days are brisk and beautiful. I don't get stuck much on anything or anybody because got too many beautiful things to do. Turning it over, an efficiency, a focus, a keenness of mind and spirit that don't get me lost, but seldom. And I have a field full of cheerleaders, of accountability, my sponsor, my sponsees, guys all over the place and so on to keep me in my place, and God running the show. So this old actor, not much interested in blaming. I'm interested in, for others who aren't measuring up, that never went anywhere for me. And it just feels so useless. And what I need to be doing, of course, is putting in understanding, love, kindness, tolerance, patience, and so on. A sober guy on duty, those are the qualities that are going to demonstrate that I have turned it over for today and I'm letting God running the show. So if I do have troubles, they're clearly of my own making, and I have tools to deal with that as quickly as possible, because I don't want to scatter or lose focus or waste any of the time. I have this wonderful friend who is an award winner, who is a performer, who's on Broadway and stage, and funny, I introduced her once to some AA members, and they said to her, so where's your Oscar? And she said, well, it's out in the car. Well, that's not really true. But what I want to tell you, this great friend of mine told me that a cardinal rule of performing is that the actor never, ever directs another actor. Only the director gives the instructions. The performers don't even feed a line to another performer if they have forgotten what that might be. The other performers just, improvise until the other one gets it. And I'll love that. I'm going to wait till others get it and not be posing as if I got it. That would be absurd. I got a chance to serve. I'm no AA star or super duper monk. I'm just a poor guy trying to make it through this great mystery of life. And so that's been very helpful to me to just let it happen. And so on a day sober, God is screening all my calls. I have no right to complain or try to criticize or have it make it happen one way or the other. I've turned it over. What does that look like for me? Well, it looks like every conversation and interaction is an opportunity to remind me to keep my sober soul going for love, tolerance, acceptance, to be helpful and present to everyone along the way, regardless of what they say or do. This is a sober guy on duty. I've got my clear-cut directions, 164 pages. I've got a spiritual toolkit of 12 steps, and I know what I need to be doing on this one day sober. I do not want to be reactive, porky, or indignant. That doesn't look like I've handed it over to God, but I need to be interpreting whatever they do, think, or say from the depths of my spirit. Page 55, that's where I live, from deep down within, with a soul awake. Hopefully, please God, with a new attitude regarding whatever is going on out there, I can learn from its lessons. If it's painful for me, it's probably some kind of barometer that my conscious contact, my spiritual connection, has flickered, has faulty, or is even disconnected, so to speak. I need to check me and not be stomping about like a caveman trying to make anything happen for you all. Turning it over energizes me and reminds me that God has brought me a long way down this 24-hour day-at-a-time drill, miraculous day-at-a-time deals, that he's not going to abandon me here. He's on duty. He's screening the calls. And he will pull this goofy guy's jumbled, ragtag, catch-as-catch-can narrative together perfectly, but only in his way and in his time. God has skills. He has shown them manifestly in my life, and I do not need to fret, worry, judge, or try to arrange the players any which way. Turning it over lightens my load, folks, keeps a smile on my face, a lightness in my step, helps me pick up the pace, encourages me to cut everybody a lot of slack and mercy, who are surely doing their bestest, and what do I know even? What am I here to do anything but to practice the AA code of love and tolerance? I'm no longer running the show. Your will be done. How can I best serve? Thanks and praise. Yes, yes, yes. These are the thoughts that must accompany me constantly. Turning it over keeps me right-sized, grateful, on my knees, willing to let go of old ideas like, my way is the one. I know what should be happening here. I need to let you know it. It comes right back at me like some kind of bleep, 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 sober signal, the field sobriety test. Dude, that is not you. That is not your job. I need to keep on guard from that subtle insanity of alcoholic thinking that, what was all the fuss about drinking anyway? I could do that. And just all of this crazy. Turning it over keeps my eyeglasses reasonably clean, reaffirms my purpose, mission, direction, helps me, I hope, let loose of some of that hardness of heart, the obstinacy, defiance, sensitivity, morbid reflection on my past, keep me open-minded, cooperative, a sober guy on duty, generous, eager, kind, accepting, peaceful, at ease with what is, and into a quiet sense, a steady sense of joy and freedom that shows God is leading and I am just here to be his guy. So step 3, I hope, working for me today, friends. I'm loving it. I'm thankful and here to celebrate the moment with you, and thank you for letting me share whatever my funny rumblings or ramblings might be, to thank you for my life and to slide a little sober Kentucky love at each and every one of you. Your turn to share. I'm done.